This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
On what do you base your security for the future? That's the theme of the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again on this Sunday that we can turn to your word and learn that there is a security that never passes away. It can never be taken from us, for it is based on your resurrection, and it is a gift that is given for us to enjoy while we walk here, and then to really appreciate it in all eternity. Lord, use your word to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, like millions of Americans, I have a cell phone, but I really do not know how to use it. Oh, I can make a call and receive a call. It's a handy little instrument. I can call home and learn if my wife is all right, and she knows where she can contact me at any time. But that's about the extent of my interest in the cell phone. And to be honest, that's all I care to know about it. That's the way many people feel about the Christian faith. They know some of the teachings of the Christian faith, such as Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He died on a cross and was raised from the grave. They know that he taught that we ought to love one another, even if they were our enemies. He said that we should feed the hungry and care for the sick. He also said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, all of these are very, very good things. But that's as far as they care to go with a Christian faith. It is not to these people that I have just described at last that the book of 1 Peter is written. They are not interested in getting into the details of the Christian faith. They're not particularly interested in a personal relationship with Jesus. They are just willing to know the bare facts. Well, for a few weeks then we're going to study 1 Peter. And again, we have to come back to that old question, to whom is Peter writing? He is not writing to all the people of his society. He is not addressing his culture. He is not even addressing those who have a loose affiliation with this new church that is popping up all over the place. But he is preaching, writing to those who know Jesus in a very personal way. We read in the first verses, those who are God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God through the Holy Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Therefore, the purpose of these sermons will be to help the Christian to see what God has done for us through his Son and the joyous life he has given to us who are his children. That's the first thing that I'm anxious to do, to let us know that we do have a living hope. And secondly, I'm interested in proclaiming this word, hoping that those who don't know very much about the faith and don't particularly want to know more can be captured by the power of the Holy Spirit and brought into a living relationship with God by giving their life over to the Lord Jesus himself. So let's begin with this first chapter in this short series on 1 Peter. In this sermon, we learn that we are happy. We rejoice because we have been born again. He writes in verse 3, why are we happy? Because we are of a living, we have a living birth, a new birth, a hope, and it's all based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have this grand blessing of going through life living with a hope. Now, we all need hope. I can't imagine not having some things that we can base our life around that are hope. For example, the family. Doesn't your family give you a lot of security? I am so happy, especially as I grow older, to know that I have those children and grandchildren and in-laws right around me. And I feel their love, and I'm anxious to love them. And we know that if anything goes wrong, we'll be with one another as quickly as we can be. That's a good hope. That's a good basis for a hope. That's something that money cannot buy. But you know what? As good as that family is, it can be taken away. They can die. They can move to other parts of this whole world, not just of our country, but of this world, and the contacts with them will be far and few between. We know that they're there, but they can't serve us, nor can we serve them. So it is not complete security. Mighty good security, but not complete. We go to the material. We buy insurance. It's a good idea to have some insurance to take care of us when we're sick. You don't have to be completely dependent upon the government and all of its programs that are there one day and gone another. We can have some insurance that will leave a little money behind that can help our loved ones continue on in life. That's a good hope. Wealth as such is a good hope, but it is nothing like the living hope that Peter is describing that we have in Jesus Christ. For he has forgiven us our sins. He has said that no matter where you go in life, I will be with you, I will strengthen you, I will comfort you, I'll uphold you with my right hand, no matter where you are. And when the last day is over, then I'll receive you into my kingdom, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm not going to leave you. Now Peter goes on to say that while we have this living hope, we may also have some difficult days. It doesn't mean, the living hope does not mean that he's going to erase all troubles. And none knew that better than Peter himself. If you're acquainted with the 12th chapter of Acts, you remember that Herod had decided that he was going to get rid of a few of the Christians, another spurt, and Peter was on his list. He had been arrested, and he was sitting in jail. He was heavily chained, guarded by these powerful men. And then one night, when they were all sleeping soundly, an angel of the Lord came. And what happened? He unloosened the chains, and he said, "Get up and walk out quietly." And so he was freed. And Peter says it isn't until he got on the outside that he realized that God had set him free. Where did he go from there? God directed him to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And there were other Christians. They too were his security, living in a hope that God had supplied, rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, we're not spared the trials. Eventually, and perhaps around the year 68, Peter was martyred for the cause of Christ. But in his martyrdom, there was a living hope that was with him. Look around, people. Now, these are not just fairy tales that we're talking about. I saw that so very real not very long ago. As I've told you, I live in the retirement center, and every evening we are served a great dinner. As we were going into dinner, I said to one of my friends who was just in front of me, "How's it going?" And he looked at me and smiled, and we ate together. We shared a table. He said, "Sometimes it's pretty heavy." And as you looked at him, his body had been invaded by cancer, and his right shoulder had been taken. He had to have that amputated in his arm. This man was a great surgeon, had worked on many people in our community, and was loved by many. This man has a beautiful wife. They used to travel. They used to communicate with one another. Today she has Alzheimer's, and he has her in an Alzheimer's unit. The cost of caring for her is great, but that doesn't matter. For all practical purposes, his wife is not there. But that isn't all. He had a son who was a brilliant surgeon. Medicine was an epidemic in that family. He got a cancer of the thyroid and he died quickly, in his early 50s. And that isn't all. He has another son who was a brilliant surgeon. I know, I happened to be with him in the operating room on a mission trip in Jamaica. And I watched him as he operated on this person. But due to an accident, he has some other problems. And that's very difficult for him and for the family. All of these things. And so he said to me, "You see, life can be a little heavy, Homer, but that's okay. I am a Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ is with me. That's the living hope." Is Peter telling a fairy tale? His flesh and blood right before my very eyes. And he said, "One day, probably not too soon, not too long, I'm going to die. And then I'll go to heaven, and all will be well." The living hope. It's all around us, friend. Just go and talk with some of your friends who live in that situation, that relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you're wondering, where do I go for hope? Here it is, right here, shown to you in 1 Peter 1, and revealed among the people with whom you walk. Yeah, I know that friend. I also visited with him not long ago. He had 4 children. His wife is dead. And I said, "How are the kids getting along? What are they doing? Where are they?" And he smiled and he said, "Oh, they're good kids. They're good to their dad. They come to see me. I go to see them. We take some trips together. How fortunate I am to have them." But then the expression on his face changed. And he said, "You know, but as much as I love them, none of them have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't even go to church. And I often wonder what I did, or what we did as a family that led to this. I don't know. Life is heavy. But the seed has been planted. And maybe before they die, they will go to heaven because they will come to faith in Jesus Christ." Right around you. Now, there are the great cases, no greater than the ones that I've just described. But they're great because they have brought the attention, gotten the attention of the world. Not long ago, I introduced you to a book by the name Bonhoeffer and encouraged you to buy it and read it. Bonhoeffer was a Christian who resisted Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement right to the very end. Bonhoeffer was the man who could say to the German people, "The future of Germany is not in the hands of Adolf Hitler. It is in the hands of Almighty God." Bonhoeffer was the one who was arrested by Hitler and sent to Flossenbürg, and on Sunday, April 9th, 1945, he was hanged for his faith. But he had a living hope. And only minutes, not hours, minutes, before he was led out to the gallows to be hanged, prisoners came and said, "Lead us in a service." And he led them, and his texts were Isaiah 53:5. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And from there, Bonhoeffer went on to 1 Peter 1:3, a part of our text today, where it says he has brought us peace. The peace was upon him. And by his wounds, meaning Christ's wounds, we are healed. We have a living hope. Not even Adolf Hitler can take this away from us. And as he was led out to the gallows, he turned to his fellow men and said, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." This is the living faith, which dwells in the lives of all who know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And for those of you who do not know him, may I say, he's anxious to give you this living hope. Rejoice about those things like family and wealth, insurance policies and so forth, that you can have them. But realize they will never bring you the peace until your faith is in Jesus Christ. Tremendously important. And so we turn to him and we say, "Thank you, God, for sending us the Lord Jesus, for permitting us to walk with him and he with us, in spite of trials, tribulations, or whatever they might be. For we are the children of a living hope, both now and for all eternity." Amen.
Bye.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our living hope. We thank you that we can live with that hope and die with that hope, knowing that Jesus Christ is not far from us. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into your care and watching as we begin another week, thanking you that we are wealthy people in Christ who has an inheritance for us in heaven. We thank you also that we can commit into your care and keeping those who are sick, sorrowing, suffering, dying, parts of a family that has gone away. Pray, O God, that they may come back to Christ, who is their peace. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for Radio Time. Your financial gifts enable us to buy Radio Time on 21 stations throughout the United States and internet access around the world. Many listeners depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson and Reverend Kramer, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. Connecting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 49 years.